Hi, everybody, and welcome to Japan Baseball Weekly. This is the 10th show. My goodness, wow. We're already up to 10. It's brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Jim Allen.
Hey, John, how's it going tonight?
Oh, man, long day.
I'll bet you. Yo, you and me both, babe.
But, yeah, it's going all right. All right, well, tonight we have an interview with Bobby Keppel of the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters. We're going to be talking about Interleague, and we're going to actually touch on getting back to league play. So let's get going with Clearing the Bases. Okay, well, I did an interview with Bobby Keppel, and he was gracious enough to give us the time. And I also got a couple questions for some listeners on my blog, so I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Mookster, and thank you very much, Mr. Michael. I can't remember the last name. It sounded Japanese, but I don't think it was Japanese, but it could be. It was Mikoda, okay. I think it was. Thank you very much for the questions.
Thank you.
Bobby, we have to thank him for taking the time, and I really appreciate it. It was really fun to catch up with him, and we chatted before we actually did the interview, and we chatted a little bit afterwards. So he was happy to see us on iTunes, and you can find us there. You just have to search for Japan Baseball Weekly, and it'll pop right up, and you can subscribe, and then downloading is as easy as plugging in your iPhone.
Excellent.
All right, well, Bobby Keppel is a guy who won 12 games last season, and he was second on the team in wins behind he was actually tied with Yu Darvish, which is, you know, he's got a big name there that he's tied with in wins, and he was a couple back of Masaru Takeda, who this season is Mr. Hard Luck, but we'll get to that later. But he's a guy who, he was injured. I think he injured a rib cage muscle in his first start, and had to actually come out of the game. But he actually bounced back and had a good season for him. So let's get to the interview. All right, we're here with Bobby Keppel. He has been gracious enough to join us and talk about the season. Now, we have a couple questions, one from a reader that I'm going to start with. And this one came in tonight, so I'll go with it first. It's the name is Michael Mikoda, and he's from Pocatello, Idaho, where I've been. I actually have been to Pocatello, Idaho. So he says, what does Mr. Keppel think of interleague play? So, Bobby, what do you think of interleague play?
I think it's a great opportunity to finally mix it up. Over here in Japan, we have so many games against our own league. It's nice to see some different hitters, see some different ballparks. Uh-huh. As a pitcher, I get to hit, so I always enjoy that, even though I didn't do too well this time around. But I really enjoyed it. It definitely changes up the pace of the year.
Well, you're saying you didn't do very well, but good grief, your team did so well. And one of my questions was, I mean, what do you guys think of all these shutouts that you had in Interleague?
Yeah, our pitching staff, we're set up real well for Interleague play. We have four really experienced starters. And our fifth guy that you really only need five at the most starters to get through the interleague play with all the days off. Uh-huh. And our fifth starter always came up and stepped up and did a great job. So I think we set up real well as a pitching staff. Uh-huh. And I think we went through that streak of 9 out of 11 shutouts, which is truly amazing. And it's not a streak that you'll see too often. But you had basically the four regulars, we all put four in. And then you got Darvish. Uh-huh. He did it a couple times. But you just have guys that are experienced, been around the game, and we attacked. And our bullpen, you gotta give the bullpen credit, because in the games that Masaru and Wolfie and I finished, the bullpen finished it out, and they've been phenomenal.
I thought that was going to be kind of a weak spot, and I'm kind of wondering how it's going to play out for the rest of the season and into the playoffs. But I mean, during this interleague run, you guys were fantastic, and especially in limiting run production from teams. It was just amazing. And what's it like when you're out there seeing everybody else throw shutouts and you have your turn comes up and there's still shutouts going?
Right. I try to explain it this way. I think people would understand. There's momentum within a baseball game, you know, where a team will flip the game from a 1-0 lead to 2-1. There's certain at-bats that are very important for a team or for a game momentum. But we were getting what I would call, like, you know, season momentum or a larger gamut where, you know, our pitchers just came out day in and day out, and we were on a roll, just like the Hawks were on, to be honest. I mean, every game we won, the Hawks were doing better than us. So, but we just got into some good team momentum where every pitcher expected to go out there and produce. You know, it wasn't even quality starts anymore. It was maybe give up a run. And I think those expectations helped everyone play to a higher level.
Well, you guys certainly, you know, boosted your level and made the Central League look like a different thing. I mean, you guys played in the league of your own. It was like, I was so amazed. And we went on the show, Jim and I, before Interleague started, and we made our predictions. And I came out and said that maybe a Central League team will step up and win this thing this year, and that it was going to be a lot closer. And it just wasn't. And it just it's just amazing how these things play out. We can't figure out what the deal is, whether it's a difference in preparation, a difference in score, the scouts, a difference in the way the games are played. I mean, did you notice anything?
Yeah, I listened to your podcast last week, and I listened to some of your comments, and the preparation you guys talked about for a little bit, both teams, they do an extreme amount of preparation here, and you guys, you touched on it a little bit. I think the biggest thing, you know, you're saying, well, you haven't seen these guys. It really is important that you haven't seen these pitchers before. Now, that goes for our hitters, too, against Central League. But so I wouldn't call it preparation, but I do think the nine-man the batting lineup really does affect the game. You have a team that's used to having a DH that can always slip a pitcher in, but another team that isn't built to have a DH, that is a large factor. And something else you guys touched on, which I agree with, is the middle of these lineups, whether it's injury or not producing right now, but the middle of the lineups, a lot of these Central League teams, they're not doing what they're capable of doing. And that's a factor for sure with why, you know, these Pacific League teams came in and really did handle, for the most part, most of the Central League teams. Those are some key factors. And the other one I like to throw in, the season did start late. So, you know, some of these guys might not be at their full midseason form that could be at, you know, come interleague play. So that's what I got for you.
Well, you had me at, I listened to the podcast last week, so I didn't hear, hear anything else after that.
I'm not the show guy, and then you're on good terms.
Well, that's good because, you know, I kind of got the idea that maybe that ninth man was just throwing off the Central League because the moves are somewhat anticipated and the managers go from there and the games flow better when they know what's going to happen. But let's go on to the next question from Mr. Mikota, which was how do you compare playing in MPB to the MLB?
Right. This year's been slightly different, but there is a big difference in the games. Right off the bat, you play 144 games in about the same amount of calendar time, maybe even a tad shorter, where the MLB is going to play 162 games. So right off the bat, you're going to see off days. But one thing that allows, which you know you don't see in the major leagues, is that guys play every game here. You're going to see the same lineup day in and day out because these guys are rested more. Mm-hmm. And I think that's better for the fans. The fans are going to come to the game and they're going to know, they're going to see their favorite guys out on the field. So I think that's a huge point from the fan standpoint. Also, the fans here truly are more energetic throughout a whole game, any stadium you go to. Those supporters, as they call themselves here, you know, we're a fighter supporter. They really truly are. And they are there game in, game out when we were struggling last year. And this goes, we just finished playing the Carp, and the Carp are not doing so well right now. And they had a sellout crowd today. And electric stadium. Pitching there was amazing how loud they were in that stadium. So that's another major difference is you play in some of those small market games in the Major League Baseball, you're not going to have the fans. I played in Kansas City. We didn't have many fans there. Colorado, even at times, I was with the Rockies, not too many fans. So there was some of the major differences.
Right. I talked to a player before and you know, the passion that the fans have here can help the players. I mean, you know, you can be in the midst of a losing streak and they're as faithful as dogs. You know, they'll come out and they'll root as hard as they can just for you to win that day. They don't care about tomorrow. They don't care what happened the day before. They just want to see you win that day. All right, we have another question from Mookster, a friend of the program. This is his second time writing to, I don't know if he's writing specifically to Japan Baseball Weekly or to my blog, but he says, I have a question for Bobby. Japanese pitchers seem to throw a lot of warm-up pitches and even pitches on the side, I think it says here, in between innings. Is it something expected of foreign pitchers as well?
Okay, I'll get right to it. This was something I was afraid of when I came over here, because I heard about this too. And when I came over here, the team I'm with, the Nippon Ham Fighters, we've had the Trey Hillman was here before, so they have a little more of a they're a little more gracious with us foreigners. But they basically let us do what we wanted to do. And the warm-up pitches in between innings, it was something that confused me. But really why they do it is you only get 5 warm-up pitches here in between innings in Japan for whatever reason, pace of play, or for whatever reason, that's what it is. Right, in the States, you get 8. Those extra 3 are really critical, I think, in getting your body loose in between each inning. Mm-hmm. So what they're doing is we go on the field, and you're throwing very light with hardly any effort just to keep the arm flowing so that when you get on the mound, you're jumping right into your warm-up pitches. So I've actually done it. They don't ask you to do it. They just do whatever, you know, gets you prepared. And then before the game, you do whatever you want, especially on my team. They say just get yourself ready. I personally throw 60 pitches before a game. Brian Wolf, the other foreigner team, he throws about 30. Mm-hmm. And, it works. We're kind of complete opposites.
All right. Now, he also asked, has your pregame preparation changed in any way since coming to Japan, or do you stick to the usual pregame routine that you had back in the States?
I touched on a little bit. I stuck to what I knew, but actually coming here, they're pretty advanced when it comes to knowing what gets your body ready, and I've adapted some of the things they do here, some of the active warm-up, we call it, here, and I've brought that in, and I just do whatever gets my body ready. And to be honest, some of the things they've added I've really enjoyed, and if I ever go back to the States, I'll bring that back there.
My. So you really have, that's part of it, is getting used to what Japan does and then adapting it and doing it, and don't complain about it. A lot of times there's not much you can do to change it anyway.
Sure.
You just have to do it. So, all right. Well, we've gone over time here, so I'm going to call it quits. I had some questions for you too, but I interjected my questions while we were going. We've been with Bobby Keppel of the Nippon Ham Fighters, and we appreciate your time. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
We'll have you on again. You're officially a friend of the program.
All right.
Take care. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, well, that was pretty good, and I want to thank Bobby again for coming on the show. I wanted to talk a little bit, about the fighters, and certainly he talked about the rhythm that their team has, and of course with him and with the Takeda and Darvish and all these great pitchers is one thing. Of course, you always have to mention or be aware of is that it's been a year of shutouts for, all across the league, runs are down, but I'm not certain that Bobby actually knows this. because to him, it might be a little on the abstract side. Now he's pitched 10 games.
Uh-huh.
And when he starts, the Fighters are scoring about 5.7 runs per game.
That's a lot.
They've been shut out once, and since then it's 6 runs, 4 runs, 9 runs, 3 runs, 11 runs, 3 runs, 9 runs, 3 runs, 9 runs. So I'm not certain if he understands this is the year of the pitcher, other than from what his teammates are doing.
Well, his teammates, they shut out teams in 8 of 9 games over one stretch. I think they were aware of what was going on, but
sure.
Obviously they don't know. They're not so focused on how many runs they get once the game is over.
Right.
But during the game, I'm sure if you're locked in a pitching duel.
I'm just joking. The other side of the coin is Masaru Takeda, as you mentioned, Mr. Hard Luck.
Uh-huh.
Now, when he pitches, it's a completely different story, as you have pointed out a couple of times this year.
Yes.
Is Takeda, the Fighters have been shut out this year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times when Takeda has pitched, and another game they scored 1 run, which they won. He threw a shutout.
And I believe those games were consecutive, if I'm not mistaken.
There were 4 in a row.
4 in a row.
And on June 14th, last Tuesday, the Fighters lost a 1-0 game that he started.
Right. Okay.
they lost 3. That was the third 1-0 game they've lost that he started. So things have got to be improving for him. Sooner or later, they're going to score some runs.
Because if you look at him, and I can't remember the numbers right off my head, but I think he's 2 or 3 in the league in ERA, and yet his record doesn't reflect the guy who should have, you know, it doesn't reflect. Actually, he's second. He's second in ERA, but he's 4-5. You know, a guy who's got a 1.30 microscopic ERA, you'd think would have a winning record at least, and he's below 500 because of all those shutouts they keep throwing against him.
Yeah, no, that's just the way it works. Obviously, pitching wins are not the end of the story. You're out there to win, but there's not a lot you can do when your teammates don't score a single run. You're not going to win a lot. In fact, you're not going to win any games.
Well, I don't, and we'll probably touch on this in another show, probably in the off season. But I don't put much stock in wins anyway. It just means you're out there long enough to get a decision. But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really tell anybody about how you're pitching, because there are guys who can win a bunch of games just because their team score a lot of runs and they don't.
Are guys who can do that. I don't think this is something that happens. It happens over a course of years. What happened is there are guys, it happens to irregularly.
Right.
If you get a lot of runs, you're going to win some games.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, unless you're me pitching, and then, you know, they could score 20 runs a game. Wouldn't help. I'd still go 0-10. I'd go 0-0 because they wouldn't put me out on the mound in the first place. Nobody's that desperate.
Well, I mean, there are mop-up guys. You can get a job mopping up somewhere. Yeah, you can pitch batting practice.
They kicked me out of batting practice. Are you kidding?
No, we got to get rid of this guy.
Get this clown out of here. He's killing us.
He's killing us in batting practice, giving up our home runs to our hitters, making them think they're good.
No, that wouldn't happen. I don't want to say, okay. We'll move along.
Yeah, a guy with a 1.30 ERA, that should probably win, you know. And I haven't looked at the ERA leaders the past 10 years, but I would say none of them had an ERA like this. I mean, this is definitely the year of the pitcher, but even with that, you got to score more than zero. You got to get the guy, even at least get him off the hook in these 1-0 games. I mean, man, oh, man. There has to be a new phrase for hard luck losers.
Yeah, we just call him Sarez from now on. Yeah. Which ironically, his name means winner.
Well, I predict that one day he will be a winner in terms of his record, because it cannot continue. And that's a good team, you know. I didn't predict, and we'll talk about predictions again one day. I did not predict that they would be, I don't think I had him in the top 3.
Right. Well, actually, that may be karma biting his parents for naming him winner, you know?
I don't think they were. I don't know. We'll see. You know, he's the kind of guy, though, if anybody could go through the mental anguish and not be affected by it and not let it affect his pitching, it's this guy, because he doesn't get up or down or anything. He just kind of goes out there and goes about his business, keeps his head down, and works hard. So.
Wow.
He can get through it, I'm sure. If it bothers him at all, it probably doesn't bother him at all, because he can't do anything about it.
Okay.
So, you know, Bobby did talk about some other things too. Including one of the reasons why he thinks the Central League maybe is not used to, or, you know, didn't function well in interleague play, and he touched on one of the things that I discussed last week, or actually we both discussed it, but I brought it up.
Sure.
Which was that the game...
It was your idea, babe.
Yeah, it was me, so man. So, I mean, get back off, Jim. Just step aside. No, no.
All right.
Don't let the big head take over.
It was that
the games sometimes don't flow. Because they don't know what to expect. And
right.
All that stuff. But, you know, and all that stuff, you know, he said the teams prepare the right way and they get ready. But obviously something is going wrong for the Central League as a whole. And, you know, I'm going to do some more interviews and try to pinpoint. I actually heard an announcer on TV today saying that, you know, these guys, actually it was Mr. Dragon. It was Kazuyoshi Tatsunami. On the Giants telecast, and he was saying, you know, it really makes a difference when you face a pitcher for the very first time, somebody you've never seen. It really does make a difference. And, you know, maybe that's the problem, is that they're seeing a lot of guys they have never seen. I mean, Kenta Kurihara of the Hiroshima Carp talked to me about it a couple weeks ago, and I'm like,
well. So wait a second. You're telling me that the Pacific League have seen these pitchers before, and the Central League the Central League batters haven't seen the Pacific League pitchers? Well, they got one-way mirrors going on here or something?
I'm saying there's a combination of things. And look, let's look at it this way, too. I mean, there were a lot of 1-0 games, so neither side was hitting all that much. It's just
this
that the one advantage, or the seemed like the Pacific League came up with the hits it needed to win games, but that they weren't, you know, this past week, we finally had, we didn't have our daily pitching duel. We had scores in the games, and it wasn't always 0-0, although the Dragons seem to struggle every day. That's a personal note, but aside from that.
Yeah, okay, John, you're over it.
But
move along.
Yeah, it's not to say that the Pacific League teams didn't have the same adversity, but they seemed to be able to come up with that hit when they needed it to win games, and the Central League wasn't able to come through to win games. And that was the difference in it played out. It bears out in a dramatic way in the win loss record between the two leagues. It's amazing.
I hate to pick on Jim Leland.
Okay, well, he won't know. He'll never know.
Right, and if Terry Collins is listening, you know, it's not. I'm not picking on Jim. We love Jim, but you know, anybody who says that one league, the league that has the pitchers batting all the time, has an advantage in interleague, deserves to be picked on. Because we saw another great example of this, Shohei Tateyama, the Swallows, told me that he thinks the Pacific League has an advantage because they're better. Well, I'll tell you what, their pitchers are better. They're better when they're swinging the bats. Now, you know, this is something you really don't expect to see, but just about every Pacific League team this year in Interleague, their pitchers batted better than the Central League pitchers.
No way.
It's amazing. I mean, we're going to give the Silver Bat Award for Interleague to the Oryx Buffaloes.
No way, Oryx?
No way. They had three hits and 26 at bats, scored three runs, had an RBI, a double, and Alfredo Griffin hit a home run. Well, and they also had two walks.
It'd be nice if it was Alfredo Griffin, but I think it was Alfredo Figueroa.
Oh, man, Alfredo Griffin.
A guy I love. I love that guy. I love him. Ex-Dodger.
Love that guy. Well, that tells... Okay, we're not going to go... We're not going to pick on Alfredo either.
Toronto Blue Jays.
Los Angeles Dodgers. We love you. Alfredo Griffin, oh my dear.
He probably could hit better than Alfredo Figueroa right now still.
Probably. He could run better than him, probably.
I don't know about that.
speaking of, we're not going to go into Alfredo Figueroa yet, but he's a heck of a player, and he's having a good year, so we'll be pulling for him. Unfortunately, he doesn't get to sling the bat anymore, at least until the postseason.
The postseason, if and when. Yeah. Well, you know what? That schizophrenic team has moved its way into playoff position in the standings.
Yep. So, yeah, it could happen. Of course, they have to get past the Hawks in the playoffs like nobody else has ever been able to do.
You. Well, I don't know.
Someday the Hawks will win the second stage of the playoffs, and this may even be the year.
This has to be the year. I mean, I wanted to talk about this later, but I guess we can get into it. I mean, there are some teams that are flawed. In fact, I think the Chunichi Dragons won the championship in the Central League last year, even though they had a lot of flaws. And but the Hawks, I don't think, have many flaws at all. And for them not to win this year.
That's the playoffs, man. The playoffs are what the Hawks don't do. You know, they've become the San Jose Sharks of the Pacific League. Could be the best team in the league, and nobody cares in the playoffs.
Right. They don't care, and they lose these things at home. They lose them when they're up. They lose them when they're down. They just in the series. They're going
to
have to deal with a Fighters team that's you know, just as good in some areas, maybe lacking in some areas, but
And they only have to be good. The thing about the playoffs is, all you Marines fans will know, you only have to be good for a couple of weeks. I mean, really, the Marines were not a good team last year.
Well,
anybody who tells you they were a good team is looking at the Japan series and working backwards. They were a great team in the playoffs. They were a great team in the Japan series. But they weren't a good team all year. They just sort of were good enough to get there, and then they were unstoppable.
Right, and that's
so you don't have to be the best team.
And that's where there were a lot of teams that were flawed, and it wasn't that the best team won. It was the team that was playing the best won.
Yep.
And it's really, you talk to these players all the time, and I've done it before, and you've done it before. You go and you might talk to a fourth place team or a third place team, and this is even before the playoffs system started here in Japan, maybe back in the 90s. And all the guys say, hey, man, all we need to do is put together a little run here and get to the playoffs. And if we get a winning streak and get going here. And, you're looking back and you're looking at the numbers and you've seen what they've done up to then. And you say, no way. What are you thinking?
But the Marines proved that can happen.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Weird stuff happens.
And they can go on a roll and they can put it together. And even... the Marines last year, they putting up the rookie, Kyota. They put him out there, and he produced it. He was as calm and cool as a cucumber out there in the Japan series of all places, and their pitchers perform. And that's what it's about. It's about performing. So you can have a great record and all that stuff, and you can have a team that's not flawed.
Right.
But, when the playoffs come around...
Those pitchers with those middle relievers, I mean, they spent the entire season walking people like they thought Jerry Lewis was going to collect money for it or something.
Walk-a-thon, huh?
But come time for the playoffs, they were like other guys. Like they got them, they bought them at a rental shop and just switched uniforms with them. They weren't looking like the same guys.
Yeah, I agree totally, because the guys, and for me it was the pitchers, because as I think I told you before, I was expecting the Dragons to be able to pitch better, actually. I just didn't think they could hit with the Marines, but
Marines,
I figured the Marines pitching was going to allow them to score, just enough to get by, and then they'd hold on. But that wasn't the case. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't score. They had the one game where they had an explosion, and after that, that was pretty much it. Scratching and clawing for all the runs. But you look at the Fighters, when it comes to a playoff situation, I'm not so sure that playoff-wise they're built to go all the way like the Hawks. But... I think you can match their pitching, their rotation up with anybody, because if Darvish is going to pitch like this, I think he's lights out in game one, and so you can put anybody out there. The Hawks don't really have that complete shutdown guy like a Yu Darvish, who you just feel like you're up there swinging with a toothpick, and. But after that, I think the Hawks probably the pitching staffs of those two teams match up. But we have to see if it's going to be that way, because the team that finishes first has this huge advantage of having getting the opportunity to sit back and wait for the first stage winner to come up. And then when that first stage winner emerges, usually your ace has already been used.
True. Of course, the other thing is that when the first stage winner the first stage winner is being decided, the league champions are sitting on their butts for a week doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm not certain that's ever a good formula. Of course, and the other thing is that, I hate to go back to the example of the Marines. I mean, being at home sure didn't help against them. They beat the Lions 2 in a row in Cebu Dome, and where they hadn't played well all last year. And they go to Fukuoka against a team that routinely beats them like a drum, and they beat them. They won four games in Fukuoka.
Right, and we got sirens going around in our studio here in Tokyo here.
Do we?
Oh, you
put
couldn't
that
hear
fire me? Out. What are you smoking?
Well, we'll see how that plays out. I'm interested to see how the second half, what team actually finishes. Can the Fighters, or can somebody come from behind and slow down? I mean, obviously these teams are not going to play at this high a level, especially when they're playing against each other. And
obviously the Pacific League can't continue to beat up on itself.
Well, I mean, I would have said no.
He was beating up on the Central League.
I would have said yes, the way the Buffaloes were playing before Interleague started, but they made a run. So, you know, and let's talk about them now. I mean, here they are last year. They ran themselves all the way in the second place, as I recall, via Interleague play.
Sure.
And here they are again, making a move. I think they lost today. But they were 15-6-2 in Interleague play before today, so I guess they're 15-7. So,
right.
What's up with these guys? I mean, you talked and you said I remember this was maybe show number two, episode number two, and you said I don't think anybody who looks at the Oryx Buffaloes knows what they're doing. And yeah, I agree, and I don't think they know what they're doing. They brought up Lee Sun-yup from. From the farm where they had sent him, and he wasn't really hitting all that well on the farm. I don't know why he would get a call up. And they brought him up, and he hit a home run for them the other day, and they won the game. But I mean, this is really a head scratching team here. What's going on with these guys?
Well, what's up with the Oryx Buffaloes? Maybe Exhibit A for the argument that Interleague helps pitchers who the batters haven't seen, because maybe they started scout Oryx because they don't think they're any good. Because the teams that have to play them 22 games a year beat them, you know, they just beat them like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Buffaloes entered Interleague, they were 9-18. Then they go to Interleague and they rip up on the Central League. So it's sort of like their escape from reality. Well, I hate to tell them, but the reality show is coming back.
The reality show is coming back.
They went 9-18 against the Pacific League, 15-6 against the Central League. Well, the party's over, boys. So what's going on is the Buffaloes are going to go back to reality.
All right.
Do they have good players? Yes. I love Sakaguchi, Tomotaka Sakaguchi, the leadoff hitter. Of course, you know I'm a big fan of...
of the guy whose name you can't remember.
You know,
I remember Shinji
Aaron Balderas, and also of Tio Kata. I like Keita. You know, I like so many guys on the Oryx team. I just don't like the organization. They're mismanaged from one way, you know, from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
They got good pitching. They got good hitting. They've got pretty good fielders. They just don't have any semblance of a plan, period.
Yeah, I mean, I watch some of their games, and you can pretty much predict when guys are going to bunt and when guys are going to try to move runners over, and, you know, they're looking for inside pitches with a hole on the right side, and they're trying to get the ball. But then there are times where, you know, guys are up there just – hacking away, and you're wondering, you know, are they going to steal? Is there a play on? I mean, sometimes I do look at the games and I'm wondering exactly what they're trying to accomplish out there, or is it just waiting for somebody to hit a home run? They think the ball, you know, carries well.
I think if you put on an Oryx uniform, you lose the plot. I hate to be rude. I'm not picking on the players, but I think it's the team tradition. I think it's the team is essentially there playing for the moment, and when the moment changes, they just sort of have to catch up with it.
Mm.
They don't have a plan for the game. They have a sort of a wishful thinking approach. Well, the game might develop like this, and if it does, great. If it doesn't, well, there's always tomorrow.
Yeah, well, the tomorrow's run out, you know.
Yep, tomorrow's run out, boys. It's back to the past, back to the Pacific League, and I'm not going to say back to the basement because they got to compete with Marines.
Well, I was just going to bring that up. Is that they're lucky that the Marines are having such a poor run at it right now? But the Marines have the potential to get
Eagles
better
too.
Well, the Eagles are not going to get better.
No.
We should have mentioned this last week. Takeshi Yamasaki went down with a broken finger, and he's going to be out, three more weeks at least. And they brought in this guy, Luis Garcia, and you know, they had to, they were hoping he would be a number five, maybe a number three hitter for them, and then they had to stick him in the cleanup role and put a lot of pressure on him, and he's a new guy, and, you know, he just got to Japan, and you learn all the quirkiness and weird things that go on off the field, well, not off the field per se, but, you know, in practices, and people and so he's kind of have to make this adjustment in season. It's not a good situation. And I just don't see them getting better. But I think the Marines can get better. They just have, I mean, you know, they've got one of the best pitchers in the league, in Yuki Kadokawa, who won a career-high sixth game, career-best sixth game today, which is amazing. I can't believe that he's only won just six games. But five before today. So
he, you're not even mentioning their best pitcher. But, you know, well, I'm just saying. Which is Narusse.
He's just up, you know, among the league leaders in ERA. But, yeah, Narusse is good. I mean, they can get better. They're going to be
they
a tough
team
to beat.
If Kim Dae-gyun ever starts to hit again.
They
don't have a shortstop.
They're only four games under 500. That's not that bad. It is compared to, you know, when SoftBank is 21 games over 500, but you got to look at
That third spot in the Pacific League.
That third spot is gettable.
Yeah,
I mean it's reachable. You know, the Lions could get better. You know, they've got to play through some youth and some holes and you know, plug guys in here and there and do some patchwork through their lineup and everything, but they're holding on. So that you know, it's not over by any means, and I think, you know, even Oryx, a team like Oryx can compete, but I don't think they're going to get
any
better.
Oryx is a very good candidate to finish third or last. You pick it.
I'm not going to pick it for last. I think I'm going to leave the Eagles where they are now, and I'm just hoping that they don't get too much dirt piled on them while they're still trying to breathe.
Ow! I'm not going to make any really bad jokes or you know, illusions in poor taste, but that's
oh,
not,
thanks.
Not
thanks for getting my back.
What? Well, I wasn't saying nothing about you, man. I didn't want to go where I normally go. I wanted to show a modicum of good taste for once in my life.
For once.
Okay. I said try.
Well, you know, I like them. I like the Eagles. I just, you know, they just don't have much, and it's hard to watch. They've got two really good pitchers. And then they've got a really good young pitcher, Shiomi. And then, you know, they've got a bunch of guys they have to try to get out there and get them through some innings. And then they don't score much. So, I mean, it's just torturous to watch the team struggle like that. But, hey, you know, maybe they'll pick up another foreign bat somewhere and maybe they will get better. But I don't see them competing for a playoff spot, and that's too bad. But
it is too bad. I think, yeah, so many people wanted to win, but I, you know, it's kind of sad. I don't think that we're going to see a repeat of the 1995 Oryx Blue Wave.
Right. Well, and our Central League teams, you know, I think actually you picked the Marines to win Central League, and I picked the Swallows.
Well, I didn't pick the Marines to win in the Central League.
No, I'm sorry, Interleague.
In interleague play.
And I picked the
Swallows. Can we stop talking about that yet?
Well, this is the last time because...
Okay.
My Swallows made it all the way up to sixth place with a 10-11 record. Well, this is before today. I think they lost again today. So they were 10-12. And then your Marines... where are they? They are down by the bottom.
You have to go to the page down function.
That's right. You have to scroll down to get
to find the Marines. They're not listed up where the kids might see them.
There they are, right by the Bay Stars.
Absolutely.
Our apologies, Michael West Bay. Yeah, well, that didn't work out for us. But and my Central League, my theory that the Central League was going to compete well and perhaps win this thing was with the Dragons finishing at 14-10, and I don't think that's even their best record in interleague play. So, thanks a lot, guys. We will try again
next
year.
Well, John, thank you, and good luck playing next year.
Yeah, I guess nobody owes anybody a pizza or a donut here.
No, none of that stuff.
maybe one of these days the Central League will figure it out and make this thing interesting.
Well, they have. You know, they won Interleague 1 year.
They did.
Yes.
I know, but they didn't win it with the best team. They just won the most games between the two leagues.
They won the most games. That's correct. And it's just been last year that the Pacific League has really dominated it. Before, they were always close. One game here, two games there, three games. But these 22-game margins, this is something new.
Yeah. Well, let's make it something old. I don't want to see this again. Let's get to a milestone that went on this past week.
Right.
Chunichi closer Hitoki Iwase.
Yay!
A guy with no nickname, no fanfare. He's just kind of a keep your head down, do your work kind of a guy. He doesn't stand out. He doesn't talk much. And when he does talk, he doesn't even talk that loud. And he is your Japan all-time saves leader with 287.
Congratulations.
Congratulations
there.
To him. He passed Shingo Takatsu's mark. And I'm going to have to go back to my blog, actually, to find it. I think it was Friday night, but the days pass so quickly here, folks, when you work every day. I only work on the days that end with Y. Otherwise, I'm off.
Yeah, that's right. Slacker.
But, yeah, he got this save, and this would have been on the 16th, which is Thursday. And, he said, he wasn't very nervous and blah, blah, blah. But he said there were two times when he was really nervous. One of them was, and I don't know if he meant his very first opening day, but I'm just assuming it was his very first opening day. He said opening day, and then the perfect game or the combined perfect game that he finished off.
Japan series.
In the 2007 Japan series. And that
don't even count.
And what doesn't count as a perfect game.
As a save, or as a save, in the regular season record. So
yeah, he said his knees were shaking, or his legs were shaking that day. And other than that, he's pretty much as steady as the numbers show. I mean, talk about this guy. I mean,
he's pretty amazing. He's really Mr. Adjustable. He's a completely different pitcher in some ways from the pitcher he came up with, the pitcher he was when he started.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically, he has chronic back trouble. And when he's lost velocity on his pitches or he needs to adjust, he's just found new ways to get guys out. At first, first it was the fastball, then it was the slider. Now it's his new one is he throwing a cutter now?
I've been watching. I thought his slider was back to where it was.
Is it?
I thought his slider was back to where it was.
To be honest, I haven't. I've only seen one Dragons game this year, so.
Yeah, well, I thought it was back to where it was, at least in 2007 when he was pretty much, shut down. Okay. And I think it was 2007 that he had he had 43 saves then. He set the Japan record for single season saves in 2005. With 46, but yeah, he had 43 in 2007, and it looked like the slider was doing a lot of work for him. But he's had some bad games, and there have been some days this season too that I've been thinking, okay, Takuya Asao is ready to take over as a closer, and I'm ready to see this guy done. And then these past few outings have been really he's been really sharp. He hasn't been giving up so many base runners. He's been better with his control. So I would say his back, at least for a guy looking in on the outside, his back looks a little bit better. But he's always had this back trouble. I didn't know that he had.
Well, he has an irregularly curved spine.
Okay.
And it causes him all kinds of difficulties that he has to deal with. Your buddy Mori, the pitching coach?
Right, right.
Shige Kazumori said that basically, whenever possible, he travels a day ahead of the team because traveling really kills his back. And he wants to have a day after travel to recuperate.
Mm-hmm.
And he just goes through all this work basically because of his back.
Oh.
And he has an extreme regimen to deal with that. He doesn't have the free time that other people has. He's got to be taking care of his back.
Right.
But I'll tell you, he saved 22 games in 2004 when Ochiai came in as the new manager, made him the closer.
Right.
Since then, he saved 40 games in every season except 2008 when he was with the Beijing Olympic team.
Right.
And saved 36.
Well, you know,
it didn't seem like he saved anything in Beijing, though.
They
would have better off keeping him in Nagoya.
Well, that was the year that Ochiai criticized Hoshino by saying, "Well, if you use him the right way, he's very effective."
Hoshino's chance was to use him as badly as he was, to keep using him as much as possible.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's an end of the game guy, and he was using him as a setup guy and as a guy to come in when there's, you know, to put fires out. And that's not what he does. You know, he doesn't worry about base runners. Well, yeah, because he doesn't really pay attention that much to base runners. And, you know, they're like flies. I mean, you know, if they run around out there, they run around out there. The only way they can score is if I give up a hit. And so he concentrates on the guy with the weapon in his hand. And he goes at, you know, batters. You know, in Beijing, they brought him in with problems on the bases, you know.
he made more problems.
Take your hose and put this fire out. And he's like, hose? Fire?
Okay.
So,
well, congratulations.
I would say that he would have, you know, more than 300 already if they would have put him in the closer spot, let's say, in 2000, his second season. But I think the Dragons had some guys they were using, and they had a really good bullpen in 99. Yeah. They had a really good one in 2000. And they finally
switched in 2004. They switched him in to Eiji Ochiai, who had been the closer in 2003.
Okay. And they put him in there in 2004. And, yeah,
and they made Ochiai the setup guy.
Yeah. well deserved. Guy works really hard and, He said he plans to get to 300, but I think he can get way beyond 300. I think if he can.
Yeah, I think he's looking about 340.
Well, I'm not going to get too. I don't know how long beyond this season. So if he's going to pitch next season, he's going to have to do it behind or in concert with Mr. Asao, because I think they're
perhaps
ready to get him going. Another left-hander, Toshiya Sugiuchi of the Hawks. You all right there? Toshiya Sugiuchi of the Hawks notched his 1,500th strikeout.
Right.
And there's a story about this guy that Jim tells so well.
It's not about the strikeouts.
Not about the strikeouts. About this guy.
It was about a punch-out.
Yeah. Punch-out is...
Okay, this is June 1st, 2004, and Sugiuchi was having some trouble. They're playing the Fukuoka Daiei Hawks are playing the Chiba Lotte Marines in Fukuoka, and Sugiuchi gives up 7 runs in 2 innings, and probably the manager Oh sent the pitching coach out to get him, and Sugiuchi was not amused with anything, so he decided to take out his displeasure at his performance and his being taken out of the game on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
On the plastic bench at Fukuoka Dome, and it turned out to be a fairly one-sided fight with the plastic bench getting a TKO and breaking both of Sugiuchi's hands, ending his season.
I thought it was just the one hand. He did a
no,
double.
He broke both hands.
Oh my!
He was given it. You know, he was given as good as he could, but he didn't make much of a dent on the bench.
Wow,
those things are pretty hard. I found it hard to believe, but they're pretty hard, and it's still pretty amazing. But okay, so he bounces back. He basically 10 games. His season is over. The next year, he comes back, and he is motivated because you know he can't leave it alone like this. He was the MVP of the 2003 Japan Series. He's one of the Hawks' most promising pitchers. And here he is acting like an idiot. He comes back, he rehabs, and in 2004, he's the Pacific League MVP. Did I say 2004? 2005.
Okay.
When the Hawks win the regular season and don't go to the Japan Series because they begin their streak of postseason futility.
at one stretch in one of these playoffs runs, I think it was the first time the Marines had them by the throat with
sure. And they bounced back, but they still lost in six in as five games.
In then. Five games, in the fifth game.
Okay, so Sugiuchi comes back in 2005 and is the MVP. You know, and the Hawks, they didn't win the regular, they won the regular season, but at that time in 2005, the regular season didn't give you anything. You had to win in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first, that year the Hawks lost the, actually, it was the second year in a row. I take it back. It was the second year in a row that the Hawks lost the second stage. They lost in 2004 to the Lions, the first year of the PL playoffs. Then Sugiuchi's the MVP in 2005 when they win the regular season and lose to the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hawks just keep losing the final stage. So hopefully this year will be better for the Hawks. Sugiuchi will be there.
Not,
I don't think he's going to take on any benches anytime soon.
Yeah, and we'll keep his hands away from the bench. Just handcuff him when he's done. if you take him out of the game, bring handcuffs to the mound.
He doesn't need that stuff anymore.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, I haven't really ever gotten a chance to talk to him. And the pitchers are, you know, seem to be really busy. Let's rephrase that. The Japanese pitchers seem to be really busy when they're at the parks before games, whereas the foreign pitchers are more approachable, and they seem like they have more time to give you a comment here and there. The relievers are always cool. I mean, they always seem to have time. You know, it must be fun going to work every day and not knowing whether you're actually going to have to work or not when you're a relief when you're a relief pitcher. No, I mean it in a good way.
That might be in America, but in Japan, these guys sit there and they throw hard in the bullpen almost every single day.
Well, I mean, what I mean by work is I mean actually get into the game. I mean, certainly they're working hard, but it's different when you actually don't know if you're going to. I mean, just like the consummate pinch hitter. I mean, sometimes he has an opportunity to pinch hit, and sometimes he just goes to work, stretches, works out with the guys, and watches a baseball game and goes home. So yeah. I mean. You know,
you're looking for a new job, Gibson?
It's tough. Hey, no, I can't hit. We've established that. I might be able to, you know, throw the ball and allow it to be hit, but I cannot.
I thought
hit
you're
it.
Just looking for a job where cannot you can show up to work and you might not have to do anything.
I couldn't hit it. I don't think, you know, when you were talking about you throwing, if you put me in the batter's box, you would be like Cy Young or somebody because I would never.
Wow,
we're dangerous. I never get any contact at all.
All right.
So you want to look back in? We're not quite at halfway.
No.
But I would like to revise my pick for the Central League.
Yeah, go ahead.
I picked the Tigers before the season started, but I didn't know that they were going to lose every opportunity. So I'm going to go with the Swallows because they're in first place.
You know. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say the Giants are going to win it, which is, I think, my pick.
Really? Because I wouldn't – I still don't believe in their rotation, although Tetsuya Utsumi is having a career year. And
the Giants are kind of a – they've really been the hard-luck team. They've
hard
had,
luck?
Yeah, sure.
No. They're not pitching very well.
Yeah, hard luck and just having – well – you know, it's not injuries. I mean, the injury to Abe hurt them a little bit, and they have some definite flaws. Their rotation is walking on pins and needles all the time. But I think
I wouldn't even say their rotation's walking. But go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for the vote of confidence. Okay. Basically, what I'm saying is the Giants had all these guys who are much better than they played, not because they're bad, but because they hit bad stretches all at the same time.
Well, that might be offensively.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm talking
But their game is their offense.
Well, I'm talking about their rotation and that.
You can talk about the rotation. Sure.
I don't see it holding up and keeping it in that team in enough games to where they can actually win the Central League. I mean, they might be able to hit their way to some wins, but
I think they're gonna. I think they're gonna do it, and I think I'm not a believer. You know, I love the. I'm a big Swallows fan, but I don't. You know, and I believe the Swallows could win. Heck, there's only six games from first to last. I think the Tigers could win. But I think the Giants are a team that's well under what they're capable of. and this is a soft league this year.
I'm with you there. I think it's soft,
I think this is a league that, you know, I don't think the Bay Stars can win it because I just don't think they have the killer instinct.
Well,
but
they have the killer instinct. It's just that they're killing themselves.
You are too mean.
I'm sorry, Michael.
Okay, I'll be honest. You said it before I could. So you're mean. You're mean. Okay.
But
the Giants, I think, are playing as far under their ability as any team in the league. I would say more than any team in the league.
Well,
and I think that if they get healthy, which they more or less are, if they sort of can relax and just sort of get back to normal, I think going back to the Central League is going to help them. I think that, you know, they're having a bit of a spasm, and I think they're going to come out of it, and they're just going to start beating up on people slowly but surely.
Well, I think
they're still going to have problems with the rotation.
Yes, offensively, they're probably going to score more runs, and they're going to be more productive offensively, but because they're bringing their pitching staff with them, so are their opponents, and I don't see over the long haul, I don't see them. There are a lot of flawed teams in the Central League. I think the Swallows have the least number of flaws.
Well, they also have, you know, they also don't have a lot of run scoring ability.
Well, but I mean, you know, if you're pitching the way they're pitching and you put their rotation up against the Giants' rotation, I think in a series, and let's call it a 3-game series, I'm picking the Swallows to win that. And I think the Dragons could beat them too. You know, I really think the Hanshin Tigers can compete with them simply because they have better starting pitching. I believe in the other teams a lot more than
I do. But you know what happens with the Tigers is that they'll leave Standard and Messenger at the back of the rotation and won't get to use. They'll get beat before they can use them.
Let's hope not. Well, I think we're running out of time here. So on the Hot Corner, what do you have coming up this week?
Okay, I did a feature last week on Shohei Tateyama, and he had some interesting things to say. And I'm going to wrap up and do a little postmortem on the Interleague this week.
All righty. Well, we're going to have to wait one more week before I get going with the hard drives column. And I'm kind of torn. I have two ideas out there, but I will probably make a decision this week when there's no baseball for 4 days. And
yeah, who came up with that plan? Was it you?
I've long since called weekday off days in baseball the armpit of the game. I don't understand it. I don't.
In 2005, they had the off days on the weekend. It was beautiful June weather. A beautiful June, warm weekend, and there was no baseball.
I can't imagine
it was sacrilege.
I can't imagine.
Whoever thought that one up should be burnt at the stake, but I'm sure they're probably a nice guy and don't deserve it.
Well, they're probably having steak right now. And, we'll try to make it through the week. I don't know what I'm going to do for 4 days with no baseball.
Yeah, John.
I'm going to tape.
Please, if you have life support equipment, please send it to John Gibson. You'll have his email in a second because he's going to need it, folks.
I'll try to get through. I'll probably just tape a bunch of major league games and watch them at night. That'll solve my problems. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. You can send an email to the show at yakujohn@gmail.com. You can look for us on iTunes by searching Japan Baseball Weekly.
And, yes, sir.
And we'll be back next week. Thank you very much for listening. Have a good one.
Okay, see you guys.